Bruh.
Hello, and welcome back, everyone, to this week's episode of That's Bonkers, Bruh, where we talk about the strange and unusual, the interesting, and anything downright bonkers. I'm your host, Mitch.
And I'm Kelsey.
Now let's get into it.
Yeah, I have a lot to say today.
We are very appreciative of the people that have reached out to our couple dozen people that have at least started following our Instagram page. That's bonkersbruh.pod.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for everyone that's listened.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been super rewarding just to even have like a few people reach out and say that they enjoyed the episodes and they thought it was funny and makes my heart happy. It is like the biggest compliment in the world to me when somebody says that I'm funny. They could literally be like, "You are such a dumbass bitch, but you make me laugh though." And I'd be like, "Oh,
comedy
is
key."
Thanks. Because comedy doesn't age.
Comedy doesn't age.
It doesn't. Comedy never ages.
That's true.
So, yeah, it makes me happy when people say that. And we just wanted to give a shout out and say thanks. Thanks to a couple of people who have written reviews. It means a lot. It helps us a lot to get found.
Definitely appreciate the reviews. There's been a few people that have put some onto the Apple podcast, which has been very appreciative.
Yeah, we love it. Because, yeah, I mean, it is scary. I still get, like, we're on episode 4. I get kind of nervous. I'm like a little hot and sweaty right now before we begin.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, right before I even hit the record button this time, I was like,
yeah, like I don't know why it's so nerve-wracking.
A little bit of adrenaline going.
Yeah. Cause it's like, if it sucks, we'll just delete it.
That's true.
You know what I mean? That's what I have to tell myself. I'm like, this isn't like a normal interaction out in the world. Like if it sucks, I can just delete it.
I mean, but we have yet to completely delete an episode.
Yeah, not yet. I almost re-recorded the Ogden Tunnel one because, I don't know, it just didn't flow quite as well as I wanted it to. I was not in my right frame of mind. I was super tired and honestly kind of cranky. So I was just having a hard time with that one. But I'm like, whatever, it's fine. You're not, I don't know, it's fine. I just was overanalyzing it. So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed that one. I'm hoping I'll be able to flow a little easier today because I did have a coffee at 3 p.m. so that I could get through this evening.
Caffeine helps.
Yes, especially with the time change. But what I was going to say, I was getting off track before we dive into our topic, is that it is a bit scary whenever you create something and then you put it out into the world mm-hmm. for everybody to criticize. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like naturally like a creative person. Like I'm a hairstylist. I used to make mermaid crowns out of seashells and sell them online because I'm super random. And I feel like anytime you make something, it's just so scary. Like I would always be so scared when I would sell a mermaid crown, like, oh my gosh, are they gonna hate it? Are they gonna write a bad review? Is something gonna break? Are people gonna think this is stupid? Like, it's just scary. But anyway, so we appreciate the love. But in regards to that, a long time ago, I saw this quote and I posted it on my hair Instagram a long time ago, like years ago, mm-hmm. when I was like in the midst of a mermaid crown making phase. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it stuck with me because it says, it's better to create something and be criticized than to create nothing and criticize others. And for some reason, that just has always stuck with me. So anytime I get nervous about putting something out into the world, whether it's this podcast or a picture of hair I've done or just anything creative, I just think of that. And it's like, whatever. You're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. I'd rather get criticized and make something than to sit at home and do nothing and criticize other people.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. And
it's a vibe. It's on my Instagram page somewhere like years ago. Maybe I'll repost it, but yeah.
You know what's a vibe?
What?
Is getting a haircut. Got a haircut this week. What? I feel like $1 million.
Well, I heard your hairstylist is pretty good.
She is hot.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well.
Okay. Sorry. Should we get into it?
Yeah. So our topic this week.
Wait.
What?
I wanted to add something.
Okay, what?
Anyone who's watched a movie in the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
Oh my gosh. You are hyper tonight.
Sorry. So anyways, perfect segue into our topic, which is
Freak shows. The history of the circus freak show.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel as though I should preface this by saying we're using the word freak because I want to be historically accurate. That's what they were called, is freak shows. I would never, you know, obviously refer to anybody as a freak now with like a disability or anything like that. But to be historically accurate, we're calling them freak shows. That's what they were called back then. It is quite sad. There's a kind of dark, depressing layer of this topic and some of these stories. But it's wildly fascinating to me. Like the old school circus and the freak shows and stuff are so interesting to me. I actually read a book a few years ago called The Life She Was Given. And it's just like a made up story. It might be based on true events. But anyway, it was about a girl who was albino, like back in, I don't even know, like early 1900s. And her parents sold her to the circus when she was really young. And before she was sold to the circus, she was just hidden up in the attic away from everybody.
Oh my gosh.
Because it was actually a really sad book. There's a part in there where it talks about like animal cruelty with the elephants. And I did not like that at all. It was disturbing. Oh yeah,
that would be triggering for you for sure.
Yeah, because I love elephants.
You love animals as a whole.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it was an interesting book. And that time era is really interesting to me. Like the show Water for Elephants, that's another one that's like interesting to me because it's kind of in that time frame and theme. So anyway, that's why I was really excited to do this topic.
It hit me in the shower.
What? Oh, the idea for this.
I came out of the shower and was like, we need to do like the circus freak shows.
Yeah, this was your idea. I'll give you the credit for sure.
It's fascinating. Yeah. Sad.
Yeah.
But fascinating nonetheless.
Yes, I agree. So just to kind of set it up, if you don't know, a freak show, by definition, is an exhibition of biological rarities referred to in popular culture as, quote, freaks of nature. Sometimes this included heavily tattooed individuals or heavily pierced individuals or people who did crazy acts like sword swallowing or fire eating. So the freak shows were most popular around 1840s to the 1940s. They did go on longer than that, but they were technically banned around 1980, obviously because it's not a super nice thing to do. It reinforces negative stereotypes around people with disabilities,
right,
and people who are different. So they were officially banned in the 80s, early 80s. But not all of them were real. Not all the acts were real. Some of them were embellished. It does show that, too, on The Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
I think it's the fat guy.
Oh, yeah. They got to stuff his shirt full.
Yeah, they embellished some of the acts.
The guy with the stilts for being, like, 12 feet tall.
Right. That's showbiz, babe. But anyway, I've got five, quote, freaks that I'm going to highlight today. But Mitch, do you want to hit me with what you've been researching?
Yeah, so my little song going into it, The Greatest Showman, right?
Yeah.
solid show.
Solid performance.
Around P.T. Barnum. Phineas Taylor Barnum was his full name. Known as a showman, a businessman. He was a politician for a number of years.
I didn't know that.
A philanthropist. I mean, even though he, you know, promoted these hoaxes, was really the probably one of the more famous freak show attraction hosts, if you will, that took this on. But anyways, Phineas was potentially had coined the term "there's a sucker born every minute," and so he kind of knew how to make a buck. You know, he'd started this freak show business early on in his career. He was like in his 20s or something. There's a lot, actually a okay amount of historical accuracy as I got researching it a little bit with The Greatest Showman. And we'll get into the actual attractions and everything like that. But just he did. I can't remember what the lady's name was that was the beautiful Swedish singer. He really did set up her as an international sensation.
Oh yeah.
In between sort of careers there. Like I said, he actually spent time in Congress. Not only Congress, but he was also the mayor of Bridgeport, Connecticut for a term.
Oh, interesting.
And so it very interesting, right? Because like you had alluded to early on, super sad the way things were kind of exploited. And mm-hmm. and I don't know, I couldn't find a lot of details around what he had done to actually like how he treated his acts. Because as you'll hear in some of these other stories, some of them were treated very, very poorly.
Yeah.
But he, interestingly enough, was kind of given this philanthropist term from his peers and those amongst the community that he served. They really believed that he'd done a lot of good. He did in that, you know, he helped to build things up within the community. I think it was part of his politics and everything like that. But I don't know. It's sort of this, I don't know, I guess double-edged sword of that he exploited people for money early on in his career. Maybe he had a change of heart later, which caused him to maybe be more generous with his earnings and send some of that out. I mean, they made a coin for him, like a collector's coin with his face on it. By the way, not nearly as handsome as Hugh Jackman.
Well, obviously.
Portly fella from what I could tell on the photos.
Portly.
And, you know, go look him up. Just give it a look. Because, yeah, I had this freak show thing, the Jenny Lind or Lund or whatever, now the name finally came to me, paid her like a pretty exorbitant amount of money. It was like $1,000 back in the late 1800s
oh, wow.
per show, which would equate out to like 35 grand today or something like
wow.
that. Anyways, went through his career, did all this stuff. Again, tons of accolades amongst his peers, where he had provided money to institutions to build things. There was a lot of like statues and stuff like that that really wouldn't have been anything if it wasn't for him. One thing that I found was actually really interesting is that the circus, the Barnum and Bailey Circus,
mm-hmm.
actually didn't come about until after his death, from what I understand.
Oh.
So he started the circus, and probably more so the circus as we know it today, not the freak show attraction that we'll talk mostly about.
Mm-hmm.
But that circus didn't start until he was like in his 60s or something like that, 60s or 70s. He ended up selling, the organization ended up selling a portion of land to Bailey's Circus for like $400,000. It was a handful of acres for them to actually set up a more permanent tent. So that's worth it. Back then, it's like $12 million or something like that. A pretty astronomical amount for a plot of land. And then they eventually merged together in the early 1900s. So that's where you get the Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, lots of interesting stuff. I could talk about Ulfinius for
Ulfinius.
A hot minute, but I know we have a lot to cover here, so
yeah.
I'm going to shut my trap
okay.
and let you take it away, little miss.
I feel like Phineas would be a really funny name for a dog.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. That would be really cute. Just like a really goofy, homely, like Chihuahua or something. Name it Phineas.
I'm thinking English Bulldog.
That's not a bulldog name.
Absolutely is.
Okay, whatever.
I said he was a portly fella.
True. Okay. Well, anyway. So I have been so excited all day, Mitch, to tell you about this part. I've been hyping it up. I was like, oh my gosh, I found some interesting information that I didn't know before. And now I have such a connection to one of my freaks that I'm highlighting. I'm so excited. I'm totally building it up. I'm sure Mitch is going to think it's stupid.
She has been building it up for several hours.
When I tell you,
while I was at the grocery store just to tell me.
I've been on a high about it. I've been like amped up about it all day. Okay. So I'm going to do these out of order because I originally was going to do this one last, but I can't wait to tell you. Okay. So Violet and Daisy Hilton, if you haven't heard of them, I have a book about them, actually. They're conjoined twins. They were conjoined at like the hip kind of buttocks area. It almost looks fake, but yeah, they're just conjoined like at the hip. And they became pretty well known, pretty famous. Most of their performing was in the 20s and 30s. They were born in the UK, from what I understand. And their mom sold them, I guess, to, like, I don't know if a handler is the right word. She sold them to someone in the circus. She was like a single lady. She was pregnant out of wedlock. And I just have to get this off my chest. I do not know how it would be possible to deliver a conjoined twin baby back in the day, especially. Like, if that happened now, I feel like you would just get a C-section. I don't understand. I just can't even imagine having a baby, period. Like, back in the day before there was, like, medical advances.
I can't even imagine having a baby, period. What?
Well,
then I was like, well, we've had two.
Well, I can't imagine having one again, I'll tell you that much. But I just can't imagine doing it like back in the day without like proper medical. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know people do that now. But anyway, off track. Okay. So she sold them. I think she just felt like she couldn't provide for them and like that it was so taboo to be having a child out of wedlock then. So she just sold them away, which is a common theme in these stories, you'll find out. So the reason why I thought I knew a lot about Violet and Daisy, I did not. Like, this is what I found out today. So their last performance was in 1961 in Charlotte, North Carolina.
There it is.
We live in Charlotte, may I remind you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was their last performance, was in Charlotte. Their manager essentially abandoned them and just left them high and dry. They didn't have any money. They didn't have anywhere to live. They didn't have anything. I don't know why they got dropped off like that, but they were just SOL on their own. So they got a job at a grocery store in Charlotte. They worked at this grocery store. And unfortunately, they died in 1969 of the Hong Kong flu. I had never even heard of the Hong Kong flu. Apparently, it's a thing. So yeah. They died of the flu. This is really sad. So Daisy died first, and they just didn't notify anybody. I'm sure that her sister was like, okay, like, I can't live without my sister. So it's like they think from the autopsy that her sister, so Daisy died first, and they think Violet died 2 to 4 days later.
Wow.
I know, that's crazy. Can you imagine having a conjoined twin you've been with your whole life and like literally half of your body dies and then you're just waiting for yourself to die too? Like, it's so crazy to wrap your mind around. Okay, so they're buried in Forest Lawn West Cemetery in Charlotte. It's 20 minutes away from here.
Oh.
They're literally buried 20 minutes away from here.
So you need to go find it.
Oh, we're going to go find it. You can bet your bottom dollar. Probably this weekend for our date night. It's 20 minutes away. And listen, so they share a grave with a Vietnam vet whose name is Troy Thompson. His father, I guess, was an acquaintance of theirs. And they didn't have enough money to have their own grave, so they share it with this Vietnam vet. I don't know exactly how that works, if they're buried on top of each other or is there two gravestones. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not really sure exactly how that works. But apparently, when people go to visit the grave, they leave 2 pennies on the gravestone. Okay. Because that's how much it costs to see their act back in the
Interesting.
Day.
Interesting. Okay.
So you go and you leave 2 pennies as like a sign of respect kind of thing. Like, so I want to go do it.
You want to leave a couple pennies?
Yeah, I want to go. I'm being dead serious. I want to go.
I can see it in your face.
I want to go track down their grave and leave 2 pennies to pay our respects. Like, that is wild. I've literally been researching them. I have a book on them.
Yeah.
And this whole time I did not know that they died in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they're buried there.
That's crazy.
Probably because I didn't finish the damn book.
Yeah.
Gosh, I only got like halfway through, but then just my ADD kicked in. I guess I have such a hard time finishing books sometimes. So I want to finish it. I did just finish a book recently. I'm doing better. But
that's really interesting, though.
I know. That no, there's, I mean, there's
it's
more.
Here. Oh, there's more.
There's more.
Because, I mean, well, I was going to say, I've seen where people leave coins at graves, but it's usually like for the military. I probably have this all screwed up, but like, a penny means that like you were in the military with, or like in the same branch or something. I'm going to totally screw it up, so I apologize in advance. But then like, yeah, like a nickel means that you maybe were part of the same, I don't know, company. And then like a dime is more, and like a quarter could mean that like you literally fought side by side with them, or were like there when they died or something like that. It's there's like, it's a military thing to leave coins at graves.
I've never heard of that, so that I'll take your word for it.
Is in association with like your relationship with them.
Huh, interesting. Well, I really want to go seek it out, because you know how I like to go in random cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I love a creepy cemetery. This cemetery just looks like a normal basic cemetery, but when we were in Savannah, we went to the coolest, Savannah, Georgia, we went to the coolest old cemetery. Anyway, so this is the other thing that's interesting, Mitch, is on May 26th, which, as you know,
birthday,
that's my birthday, on May 26th, 2022, a blue plaque was unveiled at the house that they were born in the UK. It's on 18 Riley Road, and it was dedicated to them. The city officially came up with this plaque. They were in cahoots with the owner, the current owner of the house. And they allowed it to be put on their house. And it says their birth year to death year, 1908 to 1969. And it says stars of stage and screen born here. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. They are buried in Charlotte. And then I kept reading. I'm like, oh my gosh, on my birthday, they came up with this plaque. So I don't know. I just think things like that are interesting.
You do love a good like association.
Yeah, I really do. And like numbers and stuff. I'm really weird about numbers. And I just think that's such an interesting coincidence.
You're such a crystal girl.
I'm such a crystal girl. So now like I'm hardcore vibing with Daisy and Violet.
I can see that.
Because their plaque was unveiled on my birthday. How weird is that?
So fun.
Can you understand why I'd be excited?
I see now. I see now why you called me at the grocery store.
If I had to hold it in for one more day, I just would have had to tell you.
I know.
Anyway. All right. On to my next freak. So, this one is interesting. So this guy's name is Lalu Rampersad. And Lalu, an Indian Muslim, was born in India. I'm not even going to try to say the name of where, because I'll slaughter it. In 1874, his parasitic twin had two malformed arms and two legs, but no head. So to paint the scene for you, because people are listening, not looking, he had like a parasitic twin coming out of his chest area, like chest upper abdomen area. We need to post a picture of this on our Instagram.
Yeah, we'll get a lot of pictures out.
Oh, yeah. Because this is an interesting one. Okay, so no head, although there might have been a head embedded in his body. While the twin had no brain, its bloodstream was interconnected with Lalu's, and he could feel where the twin was touched. In addition, the twin had a penis and could urinate and get an erection.
Out of his chest.
I beg your finest pardon.
Lalu's chest?
Imagine, what a party trick. Although it was often dressed and exhibited as a girl to add interest to Lalu's act. I don't think that would add interest. I think having an extra penis is way more interesting. Call me crazy.
You're out of control.
This is out of control. Why would they dress it up as a girl?
I don't know.
There's no need for that. That doesn't make it more interesting at all. Okay, dress up as a girl to add interest. Lalu was immensely successful, but never accumulated much wealth since he loved to spend. Same. In 1905, Lalu died of an illness while with Norris and Roe Circus in Mexico. And it does say allegedly. They think something happened to him, I guess. But it says allegedly that it was from an illness. Other reports say he died in a train wreck. He is buried in Aguas Calientes, Mexico.
I love Mexico.
Okay.
Sorry. That was my ADD.
Yeah. Wild. The picture of him is wild.
I bet. I need to see it. And again, we'll post it all.
Yeah, we'll post a picture of it on Instagram. All right, I'll do one more and then I'll turn it over to you to do your people.
Sounds great.
Does that sound good?
Yep, go for it.
Okay. So this next one pulls at my heartstrings a little bit. It kind of made me sad. His name's hard to pronounce. Shilitzi Surtees. The spelling's crazy. There's actually a couple different ways it's spelled on the internet. Also, his original name was Simon Metz, they think. So confusing about the name. He was born in 1901. He died in 1971. His true birth date, name, and location are unknown. He was handed off to the circus by his parents because he was born with microcephaly. It's a neurodevelopmental disorder that left him with a very small skull and a very small stature. He was only 4 feet tall. His mental age and mental capacity was right around that of a three-year-old. And he was described as very affectionate, very social. He loved dancing and singing. He could make small sentences and do little simple tasks and stuff. But like I mentioned, he was very developmentally delayed. And I think they called him like the pinhead. It was like, isn't that what you said? Like the pinhead
disorder? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's another person like that on that freak show. What's that?
American Horror Story?
American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. The freak show American Horror Story. It's exactly like that. The one that has like the little teeny tiny ponytail on the top of their head.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he looks like. So I don't know. Sad to me because a lot of these people were not treated super well. And I get the idea that they maybe treated him a little bit better and that he was really liked and cared for. At least, I don't know. That's what I'm hoping. Because I just can't imagine someone being of like a three-year-old's mental capacity and you're just like sold to the circus as a baby and then you just have all these random managers who have guardianship over you and you're just like forced to perform and people are gawking at you. I don't know. It's so sad. I just thought it was so sad. And like, what shitbags of parents to just like sell your baby off to the circus.
Yeah. You want to believe that there's a certain level of like humanity that people would take care of someone that's so mentally challenged.
Yeah. I know it was a different time back then, 1901, yeah, but still.
Unfortunately.
But I have to wonder if he maybe would have had a worse off life staying with his parents. I don't know.
It's highly probable.
Who's to know?
I guess there is, you could call it strength in numbers, right? Like,
yeah,
every one of these acts was unique, but they were all essentially seen as sideshow attractions. So they had to kind of come together and build their own camaraderie amongst themselves. So he could have had a better life to a certain extent. Because he was at least around peers, so to speak.
Yeah, it sounded like people cared for him and did love him and stuff. So I'm hoping he had an okay life. He was in the movie Freaks. A lot of these people were. There was a film that was made, I want to say in the 30s, called Freaks. And he was one of the people that starred in it. So I think he like had an okay living, made money, did okay for himself considering the time and the disability. So I don't know, but he just seems like a sweet person, like when you see pictures of him. So I don't know. I hope that he was treated okay.
Here's to hope.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell myself that for my mental health. But anyway, who do you got, Mitch?
So I have a couple. First we're gonna talk about General Tom Thumb. And this individual, young man, I suppose he would be, was one of the characters that was highlighted in The Greatest Showman. This was His name was Charles. So anyways, I'm going to read this little clip here because I found it and I think it paints a better picture than I could probably talk about it. Because it does start with kind of Barnum and you figure out the association that he had with General Tom Thumb. So P.T. Barnum was one of the first true moguls and flashy showmen in American history. While a circus and cadre of sideshow attractions included plenty of fake freaks for people to come and stare at in horror, he also realized he also specialized in exploiting real humans. In fact, he wasn't above manipulating his own distant cousin. So he was related to Charles Stratton.
I realize that.
Yeah, who had this rare disease that caused him not to grow. Charles had barely grown from the time he was a toddler, and Barnum, I wish I could read. Gosh. Explained to the boy's father that the young man could help earn a living for his family by joining the circus. Because Charles could not otherwise find easy employment due to his size, he was eager to jump at the opportunity. Barnum taught him to dance, sing, dress up, and impersonate famous people. The act toured in the late 1700s when Barnum and Stratton... No, that's not right. It has to be 1800s because Barnum wasn't even born in the 1700s. Someone screwed up on this. Anyways.
Someone's not proofreading.
Young Charles performed under the stage name General Tom Thumb and wowed audiences in the United States with his complex routines and hilarious antics. He toured with Barnum's circus for 3 years, encountering mobs of fans wherever he went. Such was the power of his celebrity that more than 10,000 people attended his funeral when he passed away. He was truly a beloved figure who somehow managed to make the best out of a terribly exploitive circumstance.
I knew you were going to cover that one.
I had to. At first I was like, okay, yeah, it makes sense to cover this because I think, again, The Greatest Showman, solid show that came out within the last handful of years.
Yeah,
everybody's
the kids love
seen it. Yeah, we had
to
watch it.
The soundtrack slaps.
It sometimes gets the people going. And so
Zac Efron, yes it does.
Easy, take it easy over there, Kramer. I felt like I had to cover it because and then when I found out that he was related, distant cousin but still related, and still was like, no, I'm gonna take you and make you a star.
Yeah, I didn't know they were related. That is interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyways, we're going to go to another set of conjoined Siamese twins. The boys were named Chang and Ang Bunker. They were born in 1811 in a small town near Bangkok. They were considered medical marvels, especially since they had almost completely separated bodies, save for a small 4-inch bridge of flesh that connected them. It's like right near their hip.
Yeah, it's kind of how Violet and Daisy was, and it's interesting that they wouldn't try to separate them, but I guess what year were they born?
1811.
Oh, well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot of medical advancements that far back.
Mm-mm.
Anyways, the gentleman that actually found them, tracked down the twins' mother and paid her $500 to exhibit her children as a curiosity on the tour of the world as the Siamese twins. The brothers toured for 3 years doing backflips and playing badminton for enthusiastic audiences. While they were a very popular act, they barely saw any money from their performances and were often treated like property rather than people while they were working with Hunter. Tired of the exploitation, the brothers ended their contract with Hunter once they turned 21. For years afterwards, they ran a show of their own where they were able to earn money and perform on their own terms. Still, they didn't like being gawked at and quit performing at freak shows and circus performances altogether. They decided to become American citizens, bought a plantation in North Carolina.
What?
Right?
We're full of freaks here.
But even though they were through with being exploited, they didn't stop them from running their plantation off the backs of enslaved people.
Oh, so man. These... Tisk tisk.
Yeah, right? They came here, became American citizens.
I was rooting for them.
Bought a plantation in North Carolina and then owned 18 slaves, many of whom bore children. They ended up getting married, two separate women. Fathered 21 children altogether.
Wow.
So they were busy.
They were.
Which also awkward, right?
So awkward. Like, you could really go down a mental deep dive.
Don't do it.
About that situation.
Let's get back on track here.
I'm going to try to keep it PG-13 so I won't go down that road, but...
Well,
damn.
Karma's a bitch. Anyways, so it got bad for them. They invested heavily in the Confederate States of America. So basically, they put a bunch of money in the South, which obviously didn't pay off for them. They ended up filing for bankruptcy. Chang began drinking heavily and ultimately suffered a stroke in 1870. Still conjoined, right?
Yeah.
Died in 1870. In 1874, Chang... Oh, sorry.
That can't be.
Sorry, he suffered a stroke. He lived through the stroke, though.
Oh, okay. I was like, you can't just have a dead body attached to you for years.
1874, Chang caught bronchitis and died in his sleep. Aang woke up to find his brother dead, and within hours, he ended up passing away.
Yeah, I do remember reading that part, because that... I mean, I'm like... like an expert on freak shows now, and that they were one of the people that I did read about.
It's almost like the concept of when couples have been together for a long time and they really say that, like, you can die of a broken heart.
Yeah, except they're physically attached, so they literally will, like, get sepsis and die because you can't be attached to a dead body.
I guess that's true. There's all sorts of elevated levels in your body of ammonia and everything that'll probably do you in quick.
Yeah, there's no way.
It's like, you wanted them to win, right? You were like, yeah, oh, come on, like, you know, and then they, I mean...
kind of became assholes a little bit at the end.
Yeah, they moved to the South and lost their money because they had a bunch of slaves and...
Interesting.
Kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, I didn't read about that part. That seems crazy.
It was, I thought interesting, though. I mean, I guess it was, it kind of opened my eyes a bit because I guess you assume, having not lived here, you assumed that all slave owners were just like rich white men.
Yeah.
And these guys were freaks that didn't make any money while they were in the show until they branched off, started their own show, obviously made enough money. And Chang and Aang from Bangkok are clearly not old white men.
Yeah, that's
so they still were like brown and ended up buying African American slaves.
Yeah. And it's odd, too, because it's like they know more than anybody what it's like to be treated unfairly and to be treated poorly. So it kind of like is extra shitty of them that they then would be slave owners. I don't know. That's just weird.
Yeah. I mean, I know that I can't. It was a completely different time.
Yeah, but it's just weird.
But it's still just a weird concept.
It's surprising. I was not expecting that.
To feel like you were less than your whole life and not have that same sort of empathy
for
individuals working in quotes for you.
Maybe it's just like a power thing. Like they were like liking to be in power because they were given the shorthand all their life. I think those two are also where the actual official term Siamese twins came from. If I'm not mistaken.
It was in quotes. I have to believe that it probably stemmed from them.
That's what how I understood it.
Okay.
Anyway.
Your turn.
Oh, it's my turn? Okay. All right. So we're going to move on to a lovely lady named Frances O'Connor. She was born in 1914, died in 1982, and she was born without arms. So she did everything with her feet. Eating, drinking, smoking, writing.
Smoking. Nice.
Even knitting and sewing. And she was most popular, did the most performing in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. She never got married or had kids. She was also in that show, Freaks, that I talked about. And she was real cute. She was a vibe. She had like the cute little like 20s short haircut with like the finger waves and the pearls. Like she was really cute. So I want to post a picture of all these people, but yeah.
Oh, for sure.
That's just like a short little one, but she would just, I think her main act like that she would always end with was lighting a cigarette and smoking it with her feet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Quite the act.
I think I just have one more left. This one is also a little bit sad. So it's George and Willie Muse. And these were a couple brothers. They were African American, but they had albinism. They were albino. So they were like essentially white looking. And they were kidnapped in 1899. They were ages 6 and 9. So that's the most believed stories that they were kidnapped, but it is alleged or rumored, I guess, that it's a possibility that their mom, because they were so poor, made a deal with the circus to get money from them. But that's kind of just a rumor. I would hope that's not true. But anyway, so we'll see a kidnapped, ages 6 and 9. They performed in the circus for 13 years, and they were told that their mom had died. So they had not seen their parents, their mom, anybody for 13 years. Then 13 years later, they are at a show in their hometown. They're from, I think you say it, Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Roanoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Virginia. So they had a show there in their hometown, and their mom, who was illiterate, so she couldn't read the signs that they were coming and everything. Someone had told her that, hey, the circus is coming to town, like your boys might be there. So she showed up to the show, pushed her way to the front of the crowd, and was like, hey, I'm, and they were like, oh, that's mom. Like, they recognized her from the stage. It was like, oh, that's my mom. And she took them. They were done with the circus for a couple of years, but essentially needed money again. So they went back to the circus on their own terms and actually ended up making money when they went back, because before, when they were there as kids, they really didn't get anything out of it and they were treated quite poorly. So yeah, which happened a lot, especially, you know, back in those ages when racism was rampant and stuff. So I think they were treated
especially, yeah, like Roanoke,
bad.
Virginia,
yeah,
still
in Virginia,
very much the,
yeah,
South. So
exactly. So once the mom got them back, she actually sued Ringling, and they won, and they had to back pay, do all these back wages to the family.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so they got money out of it, so that was good. Interestingly enough, Willie, one of the brothers, he lived to be 108, and he died in 2001. His brother George died in 1972. But I thought that was so interesting that he lived such a crazy life, such an intense life, and lived to be 108.
That's wild.
That is so wild. Like, he had to have
bonkers.
Had just, like, bonkers even. He had to have had just such a rough life and to live to be 108. And then also, he was legally blind for quite a while, for quite a large portion of his life, because a lot of people with albinism have eye, like, vision problems as well. So yeah. I thought that was interesting, and but they did get, like I said, they got money from it, so they were able to become homeowners, and like bought a house with a bunch of land and stuff. So they did come out on top in the end. But man, what a way to grow up! Like,
just had to trudge through the mud.
Yeah, back in those days, like if you were different at all or had any abnormalities, it was the circus for you or no opportunities really.
That sucks.
I know.
I mean, I get, you know, I guess they got a settlement and everything like that, so we're able to buy a house, and I'm sure still not live a normal life, but
yeah,
something that resembles normal.
Yeah. I mean, good for them for coming out on top at the end.
Yeah. I thought of something before you started that story. I was paying attention, but I thought of something when you started that story. The woman with no arms,
mm-hmm.
You said was like through the like 20s and 30s and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Barnum actually was a huge, like, outspoken individual on temperance. Like, he was very pro-prohibition.
Oh.
Which I thought was really interesting. Being, like,
yeah,
part of the circus and performing, like, you would really, yeah, think that he would be more for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was kind of interesting.
I know how you're just fascinated with Prohibition for some reason.
I know. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is either. It's not that interesting. When we went to that Prohibition Museum in Georgia, like, you guys thought it was so interesting.
It's because it is.
Okay. So anyway, that's what we got. And, you know, we were going to talk about Love is Blind, but I think I'm just actually going to wait till our next episode because the reunion is coming out on Wednesday. So in a couple days, I just want to watch the reunion and watch everything. And then we'll kind of talk about it a little bit.
Just recap.
Yeah, just roll. Not a whole episode. Not a whole lot. So if you're not into Love is Blind, we'll actually probably do it at the end of the next episode. So then if you're into it and you want to stick around and listen to that, you can. If you're not watching that show or you haven't started it yet, then you can just hop off early.
Peace on out.
Yeah. So until next time.
Irish goodbye.
But yeah, like Mitch mentioned, we do have an Instagram now and we have an email.
We do. Yep.
Yeah. So do you want to tell them where they can find us just in case they want to get a hold of us or have any topic suggestions or anything?
Send us an email. That's bonkersbruh.pod@gmail.com.
Yeah. And follow our Instagram.
You have to be very specific because even I've tried logging in once or twice and I left a letter out. Like I did, that's bonker bruh. And I'm like, what? Why the hell isn't it finding us? It's, I know I'd set up the email.
Yeah. We've had a lot of technical difficulties. And on that note, shout out to Mitch for being tech support because I can't do it. I don't know why tech stuff stresses me out so bad. I would be in the corner crying if I had to be in charge of all the tech stuff. And you have watched so many YouTube videos.
I've taken like a college class on podcasting equivalent.
Yeah. And it's like nothing can ever go right. Like nothing can be simple. It's like when you're doing a home renovation and you uncover more and more shit.
Expect to go to Lowe's 3-4 times and there's going to be a whole hell of a lot of 4-letter words.
Yeah. It's like that. It's like you start, okay, let's upload this. Oh, our thumbnail's too big. Oh, well, how do we resize it? Oh, well, that's not working. Okay, now let's solve this. It's just like all these like little problems to solve, and it's just been, it's a lot. Mitch has put in a lot of hours for the tech stuff, so thanks, Mitch.
We're trying.
Yeah, we're getting better.
So,
all right, well,
yeah, I think that pretty much takes care of everything this week. Again, I think want to just say one more time, thank you everyone for the support so far. Mm-hmm. Very much appreciate it. Thank you for the good reviews. Please subscribe to our, you know, whether that's through Apple or Spotify. It's even on YouTube if you want to go out there and just listen to it that way.
Yep. All right. Well, if you have any good topics that you would be interested in hearing about that you want us to cover, shoot us an email, shoot us a DM. And otherwise, we'll catch you later.
See you on the other side.
Peace out.
Bye, everybody.